You're listening to a podcast from 702.
It's been a very heartening thing to see South Africans from all walks of life offering up their time, offering up their scarce resources, and just offering up even just as simple as their kind thoughts at this point in time as the country prepares to do battle with COVID-19. One group of South Africans that are trying to harness the power of technology with regards to 3D printing are a group called the Ruach Movement. Cornelius Johannes van der Steenhoven, a 3D printing expert, joins us now about how him and a couple of other techies are trying to harness the power of 3D printing. Cornelius, good morning.
Good morning, good morning. How are you, Niklas?
Hey, so far so good. We need to be thankful for the privileges that we enjoy at this point in time. Cornelius, how exactly will 3D printing, in your view, save South Africa in the time of COVID-19?
Okay, so with 3D printing, you basically have a set amount of that we print from plastic. So we basically are busy utilizing the printing farm all over South Africa with hundreds and hundreds of people owning 3D printers. And we print face shields and face masks for donation to all the hospitals over South Africa. So it kind of helps out with reusability, as we have talked to medical professionals regarding with masks on low supply and they cannot reuse it. The mask that we are printing, you are able to reuse your mask. So it helps out a lot with the according to the supply.
So you're jumping a few steps ahead of us here now. A lot of us, myself included, just simply don't understand the inner workings and basic fundamentals of 3D printing. Can anybody that has a 3D printer now be able to not only create a surgical mask, but create a surgical mask that's actually going to be effective? What is the process?
Okay, so the process of this is that anybody with a 3D printer, they are more than welcome to come join our WhatsApp groups. We are sending out all the information from the instructions, how to obtain what file you need to print, how to print it, the settings for the print as well. 3D printing is basically the usage of plastic to print it from nothing. So what we do is we send out on all the WhatsApp groups all over South Africa. We send it out the instructions of how to print it, where to print it, and how pickup and collection and distribution will be handled for them.
How many people are part of your movement as we speak?
Currently, there are about, I think, 400. Yesterday I checked, there was about 400 people, and we are currently growing in numbers day by day.
And how are you going to be able to collate all of the work that you are doing? You're saying anybody can join, but then is there going to be a logistical system in place to ensure that whatever you guys are producing goes to the places where we need it most?
Yes, there will be. There are logistical systems in place for where they are producing. Everyone can do it from the comfort of their own homes. We have WhatsApp groups in place to distribute communication, as well as having Google Drive links to submit the form for when you are done, when we can come collect it, as well as when where the files are and the instructions for everything. So we are basically operating remotely from our homes.
It's good to see that you're trying to keep the idea of self-isolation alive and well while you're trying to do this critical work. How advanced is 3D printing? I mean, you've spoken about the fact that you can perhaps print face masks. You can print other protective gear. Why have we not seen a global rush towards trying to 3D print a ventilator, for instance? I've heard stories, for instance, of guys that own 3D printers that are steeped in knowledge of 3D printing, produce faces, for instance, of people that have had their bodies ravaged by cancer.
So the beauty of 3D printing is that we can basically print anything out of nothing. So how this process works, and due to people have not yet discovered 3D printing, as it's still a new concept, but it's currently rapidly growing. So from this, we have started researching, and we noticed that with 3D printing, you can actually print food. You can print, like with what you said, with the faces. There is no limit to what 3D printing actually can do. We can basically print anything from anything.
Okay, so then Cornelius, break it down for me and explain this to me like I'm a five-year-old, right? I want to print a medical mask. What do I put in the machine and how exactly does it work? Walk me through it step by step.
Okay, so step one is that we use a program called Cura. Then we have to have a 3D model of the file. We then slice that file to print out, let's say, a set of instructions for the 3D printer itself to tell the 3D printer, okay, move there, do this, do that. Now, when we are done with that, we insert that into the 3D printer, onto an SD card, and then into the 3D printer. Then from that, you get different types of filament from the 3D printer. Now, a filament is basically like a type of material as you would get like when you're building, let's say, a bag or something like that, you need a type of material. So you have plastic materials, you have iron, copper, gold materials, there's a lot of different materials that you can have. So from that, what the 3D printer does is it pulls out that material on a roll, it pulls it out, it heats the material up, and we have what we call an extruder. That extruder has a nozzle on, and then through that nozzle, when the filament is heated up, then it goes through that nozzle, and the printer moves in a set pattern to print that 3D model that you have. So with the face mask, it goes in like a almost like a circular pattern to the contour of your face. So it prints that out, and then it goes layer by layer. So you have, let's say, hundreds or thousands of layers, and then it prints it layer by layer. So it extrudes it, and then it just continues the pattern until the print is done.
How much does this cost, right? Because if it is safe, sustainable, and affordable, why aren't more people getting on it?
So 3D printing is a technical game. So with that, if any person can do 3D printing, if we have the knowledge to do it, we can do it. The reason why it's so challenging is because now when you're 3D printing, there are faults happening, but it's not all the time. But as well as that, we are currently with when 3D printing is a challenge to, let's say, let me just quickly think. Okay, so 3D printing is a challenge because when it goes layer by layer, it takes a lot of time. So you have to have just to be able to see how the print is going and that type of thing. So I'm just thinking that due to people not knowing about 3D printing, what 3D printing actually is, that is the only reason why people have not tried 3D printing itself.
If you just joined us, you want to find out more about 3D printing or have a question about how this could aid the fight against COVID-19, drop us a call right now, 011-883-0702. Niklaus Bauer in conversation with Cornelius Johannes van der Steenhoven. He's a 3D printing expert and part of the Ruach movement. He says that there's 400 individuals as part of the movement just alone here in South Africa that are scrambling to put together measures to 3D print critical materials that medical professionals will need to fight COVID-19 in our hospitals and our clinics all around South Africa. So we spoke about printing a face mask, other protective equipment. We'll get to ventilators in a moment or so. But another interesting one is, why can't we print our testing components? Another critical part of the fight against COVID-19 is testing people and tracing people. And key to that are the test kits.
Yes, that is true. So with this being said, the beauty of the fight against COVID-19 and getting protective masks and protective gears is that we have gone through the procedures to find out our medical staff, can they use it, and we are currently in the testing phase of the usement of it, and to see, okay, is it sanitizable, is it reusable, and that type of thing. And so as we're going on with the process, we have started answering the questions, and yes, it is sanitizable, and yes, it is reusable. So as we are going on with the movement, we are currently getting a lot of advice and wisdom from a lot of medical professionals and logistics partners and that type of thing. It's really nice to see how we can give back to South Africa and to unite South Africa yet again.
Cornelius, what's the response been from government? Have you tried to get a hold of, for instance, the Department of Trade and Industry? At the very least, they can issue you with a permit so that you can travel around and ensure you guys are at least supported in that way.
So I have tried contacting a few departments, but I understand that they are currently busy. But if the Department of Trade or the Department of Health is able to help us out, then we are more than willing to listen to what they say and how we can assist the government in producing these masks and shields and distributing them accordingly so that we can all fight together against COVID-19.
All right, lines are open, 011-883-0702. Any questions, any comments about 3D printing? We'd love to hear from you wherever you are in the country and indeed the world. Amy is on the line from Zurich in Switzerland. Amy, there may be a delay, but what do you have to say about 3D printing?
Hi, Nicholas. I just wanted to ask, it's a really interesting thing. Like, I'm really enjoying the program. I just wanted to ask the 3D printers, what kinds of masks are they able to print? Because I know that we're hearing, like, so much information about how a normal, like a standard surgical mask that you get in hospitals can prevent a person that's got the virus from spreading it, like a person that's coughing, like a standard surgical mask. But that, I heard the Becky Sisa, I think it was the lady from Becky Sisa saying that an N95 mask is like the gold standard one that we should have, like especially for healthcare professionals. So just wondered, like, I think he said that they have been in consultation with healthcare professionals. So what kinds of masks are they actually able to print? Like what? I don't know, like is it like for healthcare professional standards or just like for people on the streets to kind of help them? I just wondered.
All right, Amy, let's see if Cornelius can answer that one. It's a very real concern, Cornelius, because some masks are more equal than others, to paraphrase George Orwell. But, you know, there's a lot of people that have all of a sudden become mask designers and manufacturers overnight. And, you know, they're lulling people into a false sense of security because a simple piece of cloth over your mouth with some elastics stapled into it is not going to be very effective.
Exactly. So we have found designs of a mask, that we are currently printing and using. That mask is built into three components. Those three components is the front face panel, the mask itself, and then the back face filter protection panel. Now, with that being said, any person is able to use that. And as she said with the N95 mask, what our current processes are doing is that we are searching for sources of filters. But we are currently, what the hospitals are doing is they take the N95 mask and they cut it up into six pieces. Then from that mask that we printed, they can insert six different pieces. So it prolongs the supply of N95 masks. As soon as we find other filters that we can help them out with and donate to them, then from that we will give them the right filters. So any person is able to use that mask, actually, and that mask will be able to protect them. They just need to insert a filter. So it's basically like you just replace the filter every now and then that's how you can reuse the mask itself without having to throw away or without having to pay a lot for, let's say, if you're replacing filters by yourself. Otherwise, if we donate filters to you, we'll have other filters as well. So it's kind of nice with the design itself is that it allows the wearer to be of any type of industry, and they can still utilize this mask. It's a unified design that everyone prints, and it's unified usage. So you just need the filter, and you can insert the filter, and then you are done.
All right, let's go to Ray in Sandton. Ray?
How's it, Nicholas?
Yeah, very well. Go ahead, Ray.
Good, man. Yeah, so we've actually come across an amazing solution for a 3D printed face shield. It's actually so originally designed in Sweden and vetted by the Cornell University Medical School in America. Reading the news last night, they delivered 30,000 of these printed masks. And it's just, I mean, I've seen many, many versions, and this just seems to be the best. It's the simplest version. It's literally like an Alice band. It's a 3D printed Alice band that you clip on, the standard old school transparencies. You literally take an A4 punch, you punch some holes, and you clip on the transparency onto the 3D printed Alice band. And they're already on version 11 last time I checked. And it's been medically tested. I think that's the most important thing. Medically tested and now delivered in New York and also in Italy. So what I've done is I've got hold of the original designers, and we're busy prototyping the first test print to see A, how long it takes to print, and just to iron out any of the issues. So there is a solution that we're looking at. So we are going to need a whole network of, I know there's a few groups that have already launched an initiative, but I think it's going to be, the demand's going to be massive, that we're going to need a huge network plus private sector funding.
And Ray, are you part of this Ruach movement that Cornelius is talking about?
So I'm not part of them. We've kind of done something similar but different. So I am watching what they're doing. So it's part of the same. I think it's not on that same path, but it's a different version of that same thing. Why I like this version is because it's gone through a lot of rigorous medical testing, and again, just purely about the simplicity of the design. So I think the more options, the more versions, the more designs you can get out there, the better. I just wanted to put it out there. If anyone's got a 3D printer, it does require the filament type printers, and is willing to help plus funding. I think one of the challenges is going to be a shortage of the filament itself. But let's see where it goes.
Ray and Stanton, thank you very much. A very important call there. I'm going to hand you back to Laura. And Laura, maybe give Ray the details, Cornelius's details. Ray, maybe hit him up on WhatsApp. Time to unite forces. Wouldn't you agree, Cornelius? I mean, it's great to see that people are taking the initiative there and following, you know, in Ray's case, what seems to be a tried and tested method of creating medically sound equipment there. But I suppose, you know, anybody that can join, you know, be it they join the Ruach movement or just join the cause and the fight against COVID-19, the better. Dr. Lindy in Bedford View. Dr. Lindy?
Yes, hi. My question is just a follow-up from the initial caller. You know, I'm having some knowledge about the N95 masks actually work. So, Cornelius, what it sounds like is, you know, the 3D printing is just going to be allowing the framework to be printed, but in essence, you would need the filter, which is the core of the mask that would not allow biological substances to.
Yes.
But you know, that's in essence is the niche problem of these masks, and that's a shortage. So you would still need to find a provider to insert the filter, but that's the problem. That's in shortage. So how then would just providing a network, be able to circumvent the actual shortage? Because the shortage comes from the filter, not the framework.
Cornelius, yes. your thoughts there?
Okay, so with this, we are in the process. We have realized that we can print the mask, but we still need filters. So with that being said, we have contacted a lot of factories and places with regards to helping us out with filters, but due to them being closed, they are not able to help us out. But we are in the process of obtaining authorization so that they can help us out, because if this movement is about to fight against COVID-19, then we are classified as a part of the essential services. So then those people helping us out would also need to be classified as a part of the essential services. So we are working to be in unison with everyone. So it doesn't matter if anyone can come together and we can all work and band together to fight against COVID-19, produce masks and shields the best that's medically proven, then we go forth from that and we just work together, because the purpose of Ruach is to unite South Africa again. So our purpose is that whoever wants to come with and we want to help out, we all work together and we just, because I personally believe in teamwork makes the dream work. So with the filters itself, there's two types that you can utilize. So the first one is the N95 masks that you can utilize, or you can utilize other types of filters. We have tested 0.22 micron filters, but we are unable to find a supplier in South Africa that has that type of filter, because that filter is microbial, so it does protect against COVID-19 and other type of sicknesses. So, and those viruses. So we are just in the process of waiting, because with this network, it just makes it so beautiful because now everyone bands together, everyone just wants to help out, and everyone just wants to do something. So we get calls from different hospitals and different CEOs and suppliers and manufacturers, and they all just want to help us out. So with this network, it brings people closer together, and every single person has their part to play in this whole system and this whole movement. We are currently speaking to a lot of people, and from 400 people plus on the groups, those people know people, and those people who know people, and that is how we build and we produce the shield, the mask, and how to get the filters, the elastic shaft, the April transparency. We are currently talking to a guy in Durban that has a factory for April transparencies, and we are in the arrangement of having him donate or help us out with the April transparency. So with that, with the shield, it's being sorted, and the filters, we have someone on that case to find the right filters, and it's we are speaking to doctors as well to tell us what type of filter do we need for the mask, so that when we give out the mask, it is equipped with filters, and we are planning to have like extra filters so that we can send filters with, so it can be interchangeable whilst working.
Cornelius, thanks for that there. Dr. Linney, I'm going to hand you back to Laura. Also try and get Cornelius's details there. The exponential power of collaboration is going to come to the fore here. Cornelius, we'll end things off by asking what the best 3D printer is to buy if you want to get it in on the game. But Sandra and Benoni, keep it nice and short and sharp.
Yeah, sure. We're actually a business that utilizes 3D printing for our own product development. And when we packed up for the lockdown, brought my 3D printer home and heard about this rag movement. So my printer's been printing for the last 30 hours. We're printing frames for these face screens. But where it's going to become more relevant and people need to get more on board who have got 3D printers is when we start needing ventilators and ventilator parts. I read an article where there's a group of business people trying to source ventilators from the UK, and they cannot get supply because of their own kind of challenges there. So we're looking at having to reverse engineer ventilators, like non-electrical ones, mechanical ones from World War II days, where they can be quickly and easily manufactured. And that's where 3D printing comes in. 3D printing not only prints plastic, it can also print different types of metals as well. It's very powerful, and if anyone can get their hands on 3D printers, the farming out of 3D printing will be valuable, because to mass manufacture these components, it's quite a process. You need tools made. There's testing and prototyping to be done where 3D printing can be rapidly deployed as long as it's done in community.
Amen. Amen. Music to my ears there, amen. Sandra Imbenoni. Cornelius, I'm sure you have a lot of work to do. So as we end off this conversation, if I want to get in on the action, what type of 3D printer would be best to buy in this situation?
Okay, so my recommendation for the best type of equipment to buy in the situation that is cost effective is the Endus 3 Pro. The reason for that is because that the heating bed size, the size of the print that you can do, is able to print shields or masks. So with other printers that are lower printing sizes, we are only able to print masks. But with the Endus 3 Pro, you can actually print the shields full size without having to worry of your printing printing size being too small.
And how can people get a hold of you, Cornelius?
Okay, so they can get a hold of me via WhatsApp. I will send my email, everything out from there. My WhatsApp number and my call number is 072-976-4410.
All right, so I'll read that out again, 072-976-4410. Cornelius Johannes van der Steenhoven, 3D printing expert. That's part of the Ruach movement here in South Africa. It's Hebrew for breathe. And Cornelius, I hope from the very depths of my being that you guys breathe vigor and determination into this fight against COVID-19. I really believe that technology is going to have a critical role to play as we meet this challenge. And I salute you. Well done for taking it upon yourself to do something and get involved.
This is only a team effort. We can only say thank you to everyone helping us out.
Cornelius, Johannes van der Steenhoven joining us there on 702.